Hey everybody, welcome to the 16-Bit Catholic podcast. This is episode 20, the big XX, I believe that's right. I should go check myself before I wreck myself here. Yeah, episode 20. I am Dustin Faber at 16-Bit Catholic, and I am joined by Canada's favorite priest, Father Daryl Millett. Father Daryl, how are you doing? Yes, you are Canada's favorite priest. Don't give me any lip
about that, eh?
Well, who's better than you? Who would be a better priest in Canada than you?
I'll go with all of them. Sure.
What? Oh man, you're too humble. You're too polite and you're too humble. You're living up to that stereotype of Canada. But he's Father Daryl with two R's because we don't trust Daryls with just one R. That's just nothing that anybody likes. So Father Daryl, FRDARRYL on Twitter. Father Daryl, thank you for joining me tonight.
Thank you for having me, Dustin. It's awesome to be here.
What have you been doing lately?
What have I been doing? I've been pastoring a fairly large parish in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan.
Oh, nice.
So I moved parishes just this last year, about a year ago, just almost a year ago. I was in a rural area, had four small parishes, loved it out there. And then basically the diocese came a-calling and said, hey, we need you to move to the city. So now I'm in the big city of Saskatoon, about 250,000 people here.
Wow.
And yeah. So for us, that's really, really big. I know for you, you're down in Florida, right?
Yeah, we have a whopping 35 or 40,000 people in our town of Panama City. So it's a little smaller than you.
Mind you, your big cities are a bit bigger than ours.
Yeah, some of them are a bit bigger than you. I don't know. You got Toronto. That's probably bigger than Panama City.
A little bit.
Yeah. You're off in Saskatoon. How far is that from Calgary?
Let's see, it'd be about a six and a half hour drive.
My geography in Canada is terrible. I know Vancouver, which is on the west. I know Calgary, which is in the middle. And then I know Montreal and Toronto are on the eastern side. So,
and Saskatoon would be more in the middle.
Oh, so you're like, you're out in like the boonies, out in the sticks. You're out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, like if you got the border of Montana and North Dakota.
Yeah,
and you go north about, I want to say about 5 hours, then you come across us.
That seems like a lot of fun. Now, you were out of Canada for a while. You went over to Rome, good sir. You helped marry my mentor. You were there at the wedding ceremony for Lino Rulli and his bride Jill. I guess now Jill Rulli.
This is correct.
Yeah.
So I was in Rome.
Yeah, how was
not
it?
Not for a very long time, actually.
Oh.
I spent a grand total of 4 nights in Rome, so as I like to say, I was there just enough time to get over jet lag, and then I had to be back in the parish for the following weekend.
Oh, man, your brain and your energy levels must have been just, like, wonky after that trip.
But it was so worth it, Dustin. That was such a fun week. Incredible week.
I'm jealous. I didn't get to go. And without Lino Rulli, my wife and I, we never would have met. We never would have had a radio show to be a fan of and fall in love and be married now for 5 years. So I felt like if I had all the money in the world, I would have flown to that wedding, even if I wasn't invited, just to see the magic happen.
Yeah, your story is so awesome.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that very much. Yes. We my wife and I, we listened to the same Catholic radio station, and we met on their Facebook page, and then we fell in love. It's beautiful, beautiful. It was a good ceremony, though.
It was. I mean, in many ways, I've been to and done a lot of weddings, so the liturgy itself was a Catholic wedding liturgy, go figure.
Yeah.
But, you know, the venue was incredible, St. Peter's Basilica in the choir chapel, which would have more artwork in that one chapel than I think we have in the city of Saskatoon.
Oh, wow.
And then, of course, the couple, they're just such awesome people. I've got to know Lino over a few years now and Jill over the last year or so, and they're just an awesome couple, wonderful together, and it was a lot of fun. So
yeah, they're very cute, and also when I hear them on the radio together, they sound like they've got really good chemistry. Like it doesn't sound like there's any kind of negative energy at all. It's all just like 110% positive. We are madly in love with each other, and it's really nice. It's really nice to see that after listening to the Catholic Guy show for so many years and hearing about Lino's ups and downs in the dating world. It's just when I found out he's getting engaged, my first thought was like, I'm so happy, and then my second thought was, well, I really hope this thing lasts because I want him to be happy.
Well, he's shared this on the show a few times, that basically when people would meet Jill, one of the first things they would say to him privately was, "Lino, don't mess this up." And I have to admit, when I first met Jill, my thought was exactly the same.
Don't mess this up.
But no, it's like you say, the two of them are, when you hear them on the radio, it is as in life too. They're very obviously in love, and it's wonderful to see. I'm so happy for them both.
Yeah, that's that is SiriusXM channel 129, 5 o'clock Eastern, Monday through Friday. And so if you'd like to hear the magic for yourself, that is that's how you do it. That's how it gets done. So did you have any part in the ceremony, or did you just sit in the front row like everybody else?
I can celebrated the mass. There were five priests.
That's a lot involved of priests in the mass.
Father Jim Churn, who's been on the show quite a bit, as he likes to call him, America's favorite college campus minister.
Absolutely, he is.
In New Jersey. And so he presided the wedding. Father Dave Dwyer of the Busted Halo show, also on the Catholic Channel. He preached and gave an incredible homily. And I know that they've played it on both Lino's show and on Father Dave's show.
Yes, they did.
I don't know if it's an archive somewhere, but if you can find it on a podcast or something, it's definitely worth checking out. It was a great, great homily. And the wedding itself was wonderful. The liturgy was fun. It was a little bit, to get going was kind of a funny, it was kind of a surreal experience in a way for me.
How do they cram five of you priests up there? Like, how many of you does it take to celebrate a mass? Feels like overkill.
This is the first thing I went into the chapel. Like all the priests, we got vested in the sacristy at St. Peter's. And then we moseyed on down to the chapel. And there's kind of a back door to get in there. So we went into the chapel. And my biggest thing was to do exactly as you suggested, find out where on earth I was going to be sitting. Because we weren't able to have a rehearsal. So the first time we were all in the chapel was for the wedding. And so there was no rehearsal. So I get into the chapel. And That is the thought going into my mind. Also the thought of, I'm so happy for Lino and Jill, and but on the other hand, it was very practical. Where am I going to sit? So I get into the chapel, look around, and wouldn't you know it, there were five stalls in the sanctuary, like five spots with a seat. And it was kind of sort of carved into the wall a little bit. And there were five priests. So that worked out kind of well.
I feel like Jill, as much attention to detail that she pays, the way Lino's described, I feel like she carved out those seats herself.
I'm sure.
And yeah, she got in there with like a jigsaw or like a router or something like that, and just like went to town. Like, we have five priests. They need a place to sit, and we're going to do it here. So,
absolutely. So we got into the chapel. I saw where we'd be sitting. I didn't know exactly which seat I'd get into because, I knew I wasn't going to be sitting in the middle one. That's the presider.
Yes.
But I figured I'd be sitting on one of the other ones, and it would just depend how the procession worked out. But then the other thing I noticed was all of these pilgrims. I could see dozens and dozens of pilgrims on the other side of this kind of a great gate, I guess, at the main door, the entrance of this chapel. And they're all gazing through and taking pictures,
Oh, they're taking pictures of the wedding?
Well, there's all these people, this is just before the wedding starts. And so there's all these people inside the chapel sitting down, all dressed up, for the wedding, and these priests milling around. And you can see this organist and a cantor, and they're practicing and warming up. And all of these pilgrims are reaching in through this gate, taking pictures. And one of them motioned me over to him. So I went over, and I think he spoke French, but I could kind of grasp a little bit of what he was saying. And from what I understand, he was asking me if Papa was going to be there.
Oh,
that would be nice. Known as Pope Francis. Yeah. So I got to burst his bubble, and he went away looking a little disappointed.
Why didn't you lie to him and say, yes, Pope Francis will be here?
I should have.
That would have been the best. He'd been so depressed. Maybe it's good that you didn't. I'm a terrible person for suggesting that.
That would have been funny.
That would have been funny, though. It would have been really funny.
No, I didn't think of it at that time.
So when you step into St. Peter's Basilica like that, like, I imagine it's the same feeling you get when you see, when you see the Grand Canyon or the Redwood Forest, just some amazing feat like that. Like, the pictures don't seem like they would do that place justice.
Yeah, that's accurate. It's an incredible, such an inspiring place to be. Now for the wedding, we actually kind of went in a back way to get into the sacristy.
Yeah.
But after the wedding, you know, we step out into the basilica after changing, you know, out of our albs and putting our suits and everything back on. We get into the main part of the basilica and we're just in there. And yeah, I mean, that place, it just kind of, it hits you as soon as you get in, just the high ceilings and the art everywhere. And it's a very inspiring place to be.
Was there a favorite piece of art that you had just looking around?
Oh, it's St. Peter's Basilica.
Or even something that just like stuck out to you, maybe not your favorite, but just something interesting or odd or humorous or whatever.
But you know, I've been in that building a few times now.
And there's look at you, Mr. Bragging here. Yeah, oh, I've been there a few times. I can't keep track of that.
But there's a few things that draw my attention when I go in. Number one is the Pope that was Pope when I started seminary, to which I would credit a large part
Pope
of my
vocation. John the First.
Pope John Paul II.
Oh, okay.
John the First.
Didn't mean to date you there.
First millennium of the church. So John Paul II, I try to get in there, say hi to him, because they got his tomb up at the... It's basically, if you walk into the main entrance of the basilica, it's pretty close to that main entrance. He's well located.
Well, I feel dumb for a few seconds there. I thought you meant like the actual person. Like, I try to go over and see the Pope.
Yeah, but, you know, shake hands.
But no, that makes sense. Yeah, so that's cool that you get to see the tomb.
And then one of my parishes before I moved last year was named after St. Gregory the Great. And he's also buried on the main floor at St. Peter's. The back left corner, sort of. And so I usually go and say hi to him, ask for his prayers too. So it's, you know, I kind of get drawn to the history of, you know, the popes who've served there, the popes who've guided the church over the centuries. And there's a few of them that I kind of gravitate to. St. John the 23rd would be another one. And that's one of the things I kind of do, is I just go around and ask them for their prayers and, basically go and say hi, because I think it's, for me, I think it's important that I believe that they are still very much alive. I mean, their bodies have passed on, you know, their bodies have died, but they are still very much alive. And where they are, I really want to be some days. So
yeah, me too.
Ask for their prayers. Yeah.
Good luck for me. I feel like that's never going to get here one way or the other. But I'm glad you had a good time. I'm glad you get to come back safely. You know, I know that you're very, very busy as a priest. So anytime I hear about a priest getting to get away like that, even though you were doing official priestly duties, it's really nice that you had a little bit of a break from all the people.
Well, hey, I had the easy part of that, though.
Yes, so you did.
Dave actually had to preach and was recording it. So
give a homily.
No pressure there.
Were there any food references in Father Dave's homily? I forget now after listening to that. I feel like there had to be.
You know what? I seem to think there must have been too, but...
Well, the one time we got to go to New York and hear Father Dave give a homily, I was so happy when he mentioned his roast beef sandwich. I was like, yes, there's the food reference. It's not just like the radio. Father Dave is exactly who he is on the radio in real life, and that's wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to tell you this. I mentioned it on Twitter a while back, but it's probably the most favorite thing that my child has ever done, and you're a priest, so I waited to tell the story when I had a priest on the air, but we were picking up Lucy from church. They did like this couples night out, so they end up watching the kids. Yeah, it's a nice thing. I think more churches should do things like that for the married couples. And they had a statue in the room that Lucy was in. It was a statue of Mary, and my daughter loves Mary. Every time we go to Mass, at the end of Mass, there's a statue of Mary in the back. She wants to go visit it, and she kneels down from it, and she prays, you know, for a variety of things, and it's truly wonderful. I'm so blessed to have a child that has such a dedication and a love for Mary. But this Mary statue, she was stepping on the snake, the serpent, and Lucy doesn't realize that the serpent that is symbolic of the devil. She just sees that as just another animal, and she loves animals. And she's like, well, why is Mary stepping on that snake? And it was, you know, kind of later in the evening, so I didn't really go into a lot of theological details. I was like, well, that snake was not a very nice snake, so that's why she was doing that. She's like, oh, okay. So we're leaving, and they have this giant grotto that's like a replica of Lourdes. It's got St. Bernadette kneeling, and it's got Mother Mary way up and you know, almost like a two-story grotto almost. She's like way up there, and Lucy's like, I want to see Mary again. And Alicia's like, well, it's too late to stop and see her. It's dark outside, it's your bedtime. So we're just going to pull up next to it, and I'll roll the window down, and you can talk to Mary out the window. So Alicia rolls the window down, and we're like, okay, you can talk to Mary about whatever you want to talk to Mary about. And Lucy, she kind of leans her head out toward the window, and she says, hey, Mary, last time I saw you, you were stepping on a snake. Why did you do that? So incredulous. She couldn't believe that Mary would just, like, kill this poor, poor little snake. So my wife and I were, like, doing that silent, cracking up laughing. So we try, you know, don't want her to think that she's foolish or anything. And so we tried to explain to her again that, you know, that was really the devil. He was pretending to be a snake so that he could trick Mary. And so I told Sister Helena that story on Twitter, and Sister Helena liked that explanation, because she said it avoids any abuse of animals or something along those lines. So Mary doesn't hate animals. That was just a snake pretending to be it was the devil pretending to be a snake, and Mary.
That's awesome.
Mary saw through it. But yeah, it was probably my favorite line. That and Lucy telling me that she was stepping on Paul Rudd so he wouldn't bite her. That was So
that's good. That's good. And Sister Helena Burns, the Canadian Catholic hipster.
Yeah, she's it's fun to bug her on Twitter, especially if you use bad grammar. Don't use exclamation marks. Sister has taught me not to do that anymore, so I try not to
use them. Staring.
No, not to her. You don't use them at all with her. Oh. So,
Yeah.
One exclamation. And then one time she did it, and I said, Sister, why are you doing that? And she just wrote back. She says, do as sister says, not as sister does. Like, well, that's not really helpful to anybody. I don't see that in the catechism at all, Sister Helena, but
it's towards the back.
Oh, it was in the back. Oh, I guess I didn't get that far yet. So, but we are out of time for now. Father Daryl, where can people find you at online?
They can find me at saskapriest.com. There's my Facebook and my Twitter on there. I probably link to my Instagram, and I just joined Snapchat for some
reason. Oh, why did you do that?
I don't know why.
You're not a 12-year-old girl. Why are you doing on Snapchat?
Hey, you know what? I've just noticed there's a lot of people, so I guess
there are. I just thought that was like something that like teenage kids did in their free time.
Blame Hallie Lord.
Oh, is that who got you on Snapchat? Allie Lord said something crazy the other day. She said that you won't want to like get away and have like free time away from your spouse until like the 12th year of marriage. And it's like, geez Louise, it was like a month into our marriage before we both said, hey, get away from me. I need some free time alone away from you. So Allie Lord is crazy. She got you on Snapchat. I need to probably ask her why she would do that to you. So I'm sorry, Father.
It is one of the fastest growing social networks, apparently.
Oh, man.
I don't understand the appeal of it, but I figure I better get on there.
No, you're probably a better person than I am for doing that. And you have that podcast called The Sports Fathers. And when are you going to do that one again?
Oh, who knows?
Oh, man. You're behind.
That's a great answer. But yes. Yeah, you can listen to all the back episodes at thesportsfathers.com.
Oh, how many episodes do you have? Do you know off the top of your head?
Oh, I honestly don't know off the top of my head. The last episode was recorded by Father Kyle Sanders. He does occasionally these soccer episodes.
Oh,
he's done 10 of those, and we've done 49 of the regular ones, but the last one was in September.
Yeah, that's been a while. And then I'm even looking on here, Father Kyle, he did that one on March 11th. It's been 2 months. Father, wow. Oh my gosh, you guys gotta like update this.
Basically, it was a perfect storm. Within the last year, just about all of the priest contributors got major new assignments.
Oh yeah, that'll do it to you. Maybe
my dog is really wanting me to podcast too, I guess.
Father Daryl, thank you so much for talking to me, and let's get you back on sometime before September.
Sounds great. Thank you very much.
All right, God bless you, Father. Hey everybody, have a great week.